I just want to start out by saying thank you to you as a congregation. We had mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but you sent the elders and the pastors to a conference, a revival conference down in Harrisburg a few weeks back, about 3 weeks ago, I believe. And what that does is that fills us back up so that we can come back and bring the stuff that we've got there and bring it back here. And since that conference was on revival, we're believing that God's going to bring revival to this area, not only through that, but through His glory and power. So I want to say thank you, because whether you actually sent us out yourself or not, the money that you place in the offering basket on a weekly basis helps to send us to do that, because we budgeted for that. And I just want to take the time to say thank you for allowing us to go and take part in that. And actually, there's three world-class, world-renowned speakers that were there, and they did a phenomenal job. And I'm going to take just some nuggets that I gained from there and share them with you this morning. Message is called Be the Carrier. We are disciples of Christ. I think we can agree with that. We may not have been the disciples, the apostles that we think of when we think of the New Testament times, but we are disciples. According to Webster, a disciple is one who accepts and assists in the spreading of the doctrines of another. Another definition I found, actually I got from there, was to become imitators of the master. I like that one a lot, because if we're going to call ourselves and associate ourselves with this man named Jesus Christ, that's why we're called Christians, because of his name, we should try and be an imitator of him. Well, we're going to start this morning by looking at Paul, who after his conversion actually epitomized what it means to be a disciple. We're going to look up Romans 15. We're going to start in verse 14. So if you want to turn there, if you don't have a Bible with you, there's probably one in the pew in front of you, just tucked underneath the seat there. Please help yourself. And if there isn't one right in front of you, ask the person in front of them to grab one for you, because they're around. Okay? Share with the person beside you. Again, we're in Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 14. The heading there is Paul, the minister to the Gentiles. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I've written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty to proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It always has been my ambition to preach a gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I've often been hindered from coming to you. Now, to me, I understand back then, we're talking about, a few years after Christ was on this earth, that Paul was doing this and wrote this letter. But today, I mean, we live in America, right? We live in a civilized country. And Everybody's heard about Jesus. At least that's what I thought. See, I went to Scotland a few years back. Scotland! I mean, it's like England. Great Britain. We came from there. They know about this guy. They know about Jesus. But I went there on a missions trip. Our goal was to build a skateboard park for the teenagers there. And it was a 4-week process. We went during the last week and stayed a little longer. Actually, it was kind of cool because they had the X Games there. The week we got done, they were scheduled to have the X Games there. And it was kind of neat seeing the massive athletes come and perform and do their thing. It was really pretty neat. Guys were doing backflips on bikes and stuff. I was pretty impressed. But anyway, we had a big tent meeting the whole week right there at the skate park as we were building it. And we would go and stir the people who live there up to come out and take part in the services that we were having. You know, worship services, and then, you know, somebody would speak. And the best way to do that when we were in Scotland, they found, was to just take a soccer ball out into the neighborhood. And the kids would just come out of everywhere to play soccer, because that's their big thing. So we did that. I was taking a soccer ball through the neighborhood and just kind of running around, and the kids started coming out. I thought that was kind of neat. You know, they just came to you. But the one kid, as I went through this neighborhood, the one kid was like, hey, it was just me and him. He's like, hey, what are you guys doing here? Like, he could speak the language. I mean, Scotland. But he knew I wasn't from there and wasn't from his town. And what are you doing here? And I said, we're here to tell people about Jesus. And he says, who's that? Like, he never even heard the name before. I was like, seriously? I said, Jesus, you know? He's like, no, who's that? He says, they're going to kill you. I said, nah, they're not going to kill me. No, this is like a little kid. He's, I'd say, 12. He's like, no, they're going to kill you. And that comes into play in just a second here. I was like, nah, we'll be fine. So we went to this field. They had soccer fields, and we were playing soccer. Me and about, you know, 2 dozen kids, because, you know, it takes 11 on a team. And they were ranging from maybe 7, 8, up to 18. And we're playing soccer for a little while, not a long time, maybe 20 minutes or so. And the head evangelist pulls up in his car and gets out. He's like, hey, you got to get these guys out of here and get them out of here now. I'm like, we're not leaving. I didn't even talk to him yet. We're just playing. He's like, no, you gotta go now. And I don't normally buck authority too much, okay? Especially then. Well, now, at this point, I was like, no, we're not leaving. I didn't even tell him anything yet. And he's like, he was kind of beside himself because he's like the head guy, you know? So he gets back in his car and he leaves. So I tell them to kick me the soccer ball, and they gathered around. I said, come on over here. So they gathered around, and I started telling them. I started telling them who Jesus was, because they didn't know. They had never heard of Jesus' name. I mean, I don't even know if they ever heard of anybody named Jesus. You know, they were clueless, really. So I started just a basic message. I mean, how do you tell somebody about Jesus that never heard, and you only got like 5 minutes? Well, you know that little baby they talk about at Christmas time? That's Jesus. That's God's Son. And then I kind of went on to tell them, you know that Easter time, that guy that you see on the cross every once in a while? You know, arms spread out like this, nailed to that board? And they're like, yeah. I said, that's Jesus. He just grew up. I mean, a lot of times we skip over that part. I mean, it's only 3 months apart, typically. We skip over the part that he was alive and actual person like you and me and how to live a life. Well, explain that to him. I don't remember the whole thing I told him, because a lot of times when I'm speaking, if the Holy Spirit kind of takes over, I don't remember what I said. Like, I remember at the end, like, well, that's that. I think that was pretty good. But I don't remember detail. Like, I don't remember what he even said. Because Paul says, if you open your mouth, God will fill it with his words. I'm really praying that happens this morning. My words are pretty good, I think, but we'll find out. I really pray that his words take over. So that's what Paul's talking about here. He wanted to preach to people and talk to people about Jesus, who'd never heard a thing, so that he can know where to start. Like, he just starts at the beginning. Not know what somebody might have said, what somebody might not have said to him. Because it could have been a relative of one of the guards who kind of lied and said, look, it wasn't me. He didn't know. That didn't happen. So he didn't know. He'd rather start with fresh from the beginning. Oh, and while I'm thinking of it, that's what these shoeboxes are for up here. If you can't tell, they're shoeboxes wrapped in gift wrap. And they use that ministry to take these gifts into an area of the world to tell people about Jesus. Most of the areas they go into are like, who's that? Who's Jesus? And they use these gifts that you guys have graciously put together to hand to a little boy or hand to a little girl, so that they can tell them the story. And then maybe be invited back to their homes to tell their mom and dad the story and share with them who Christ is and who he is for us, what he can do for them. So, as we send, I'm just going to pray for them right now. If you guys don't mind, I'm going to pray and take a minute here, and we're going to pray that these gifts have the intended, have the effect that it's intended to. So you bow your heads. Father God, just stretch your hands out towards us if you would. It may sound funny, but I'll tell you about that in a minute. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord God, and we ask that you have an individual to receive these packages, Lord. That not only will they receive these gifts and be overjoyed by that, but Lord, I pray that the presence of your Most High Son goes with these packages, so that as they are opened, your presence come out of them, Lord. Not just the gifts that we packed, but your actual presence comes out of these boxes and invades their life in such a way that it cannot be the same anymore. Lord God, I pray that every hand that touches them between this table and their intended recipient prays over them. Every hand, so that you go right along the path and touch lives more than just the child that's going to receive them. But when that child does receive this box, Lord God, I pray that their life is never the same again. I thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Two weeks ago, Tim shared with us from 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. It says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. See, Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit's actually inside of us. It's a dwelling place. Our body is just a temple for the Holy Spirit itself. We are to be carriers of the presence and power of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is, right? He's part of the triune God, which I still can't totally wrap my mind around how that works. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, God, lives inside of you if you've asked him to be your Savior. And by him living inside of you, are you not the carriers of God? Correct? Yeah, you're supposed to be. If you're a disciple, if you're a follower of Christ, you're supposed to be a carrier of God, his presence and his power. On your outline there, it's not really an outline, it's going to be an outline if you fill this in. Point number one, you're to have faith that he is in you. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Randy Clark was one of the speakers a couple weeks ago, and he gave this definition of faith that I'd never heard before. Faith is hearing from God, doing what he says, then persevering even when all hell breaks loose. We've heard that before. I mean, we've had that happen, I'm sure. Right? Oh, yeah, I think I'm supposed to do this. We go and start doing it, and things are fine. Okay, boy, I really must have heard from God because I'm doing this and it's working out just well. Whoa! What's going on? Okay, and you're blindsided by stuff that's just, you didn't even think about when you got started. You know, you're supposed to go and do this, but your car breaks down. Well, how's that supposed to, that doesn't happen. Oh, maybe I wasn't supposed to go do that. No, get your car fixed. Okay, borrow somebody else's car. Go do what you were supposed to do. But persevering even when all hell breaks loose. I'm going to take a look next at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm reading out of the NIV. If that's not exactly the way your Bible reads, that's okay. We'll get the same point across. 1 Thessalonians 1. We're going to start in verse 4 and go through 8. "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because of our gospel came to you not simply in words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord God. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so, you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith has become known everywhere. Therefore, we don't even need to say anything about it." How would you like to have that testimony? You guys are doing great. Not only are you doing great, but everybody around you knows you're doing what you're supposed to be doing for God. Because they all know. They know something's different about you, and it looks really good. See, I'm going to brag on our ladies for a moment. Yesterday, our women's ministry went to Hershey for a ladies' conference, I think. I only listen half the time, I think. But they went to a women's conference in Hershey and had a great time. When they left, they decided, hey, let's go get something to eat because they like partying together. And they had reservations set for a certain restaurant. And they went and they kind of tucked them off in their own little room. But the waiter, as he came in, he says, hey, what's going on? We've had a bunch of different ladies' groups come in today. Is there something going on in town? Yeah. There's something going on. We're at a conference. And oh, okay, that makes sense. And he came back a little later. But waiters are supposed to come back. But this guy kept showing up and showing up. Am I right? I've heard the story from two different people, so I'm trying to make sure it's right. And he kept showing up, even though he didn't really need to. And he's like, something's going on with you guys. He could tell something was different. Then he started sharing with them what he was seeing and what he was recognizing. And what he was recognizing was the presence of God. That they were carrying the presence of God. Fully charged up, ready to go. And they got to share with each other. Found out he was a Christian. I don't know if he ever came right out and said that, but that's they could gather with what he was saying that he was a believer. But they encouraged him. And then he encouraged them by sharing some other things about what's going on in his life and what he's experienced. But it was really recognizable that he wanted to be around our group because of how often he would come back or just even to the table next to him and was like wiping it off. And at one point, he collected the money from, I guess, the tips, the table next to him. And he's like, I don't really have time to sort this out right now. I got to sort this out, but I don't really have time to do it. And he just left it on the table. He's like, are you okay if I just leave that there? And he left. Big stack of money sitting there. Guess he trusted him. And came back later. But if you want to find out more, just talk to one of the ladies. I wasn't there. And I don't like telling third-hand stories. But talk to them. Find out exactly what happened. I think it'll be worth your time talking to them. Point number two. Have faith that he wants what you desire more than you do. Now, what I'm saying is God wants the things that you want more than you want them. How's that even possible? Let's take a look at Matthew 7. 7 through 12. I'll give you a second to get there. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 12. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find it. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law of the prophets. I think as parents, we can understand that. You guys have kids. Come Christmas time, we know they've been watching TV and they want this and they want it real bad and they want it real bad. And because of how much we know that they desire that thing, it becomes my desire to fulfill that need for them. I know it's not necessarily a need to get them a little toy, but, you know, I have a 7-year-old and she wants some stuff and she really thinks she wants it really, really bad. So, you know what? I want to please her and I want to make her happy. So unless I know it's not going to be good for her, I try and fulfill those desires for her. Or birthdays, or any other day for that matter. But God's the same way. I mean, God knows our heart. He knows what we want and what we desire. Matter of fact, I think he put those desires there in the first place. If it's not illegal or immoral, chances are he placed that desire in your heart. Did he not make you? He knew you before you were even born. I say he put them there. So, have faith that he wants what you want, even more than you do. As I was preparing my message this past week, actually even last week, a song was playing, and it played a couple times. I was like, you know what? Even this week, I think I texted Robert and said, hey, do we play this song? Do we sing this song? It's from Jeremy Camp. It's called Same Power. And if you're ready, I'd like to take a listen to it. Especially listen to the chorus. If you take those words to heart, it's pretty powerful. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. It doesn't say it lives in me. It doesn't say it lives in you or you. It lives in all of us. Each and every one of you have that power inside of you. We just need to believe it so that we can tap into it. Point number three, have faith and allow God to work through you. Yes, through you. I know you may be shy. It may not be your thing to come stand up here. That's okay. God's designed you in a certain way that only you can do certain things that I can't do. I want to go back and look at Romans 15 again, where we started today. I'm going to go line by line, starting at verse 17. And I'm going to break it down like I do for the youth group. We take, all right, what's it say? What's it mean? What's it say? What's it mean? Romans 15, 17 is where we'll start. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. It's pretty straightforward. Give Him the glory. Verse 18, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done. Basically, he's not going to be bragging about anything except what God has done through Paul for bringing others to Christ, and not just his words. It says, what I've said and done. How do you act? 19. By the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. Folks, he's talking about miracles. Yeah, miracles. So, from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. So everywhere he's traveled, everywhere Paul's traveled, this has been happening. Verse 20, it's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. We talked about that. You know, he wanted to know where he was starting from, so that he could speak the whole truth to him. Rather, it's written in Isaiah. It's written in Isaiah 52:15 is where this verse, this next part's from. Those who were not told about him will see. Those who will have not heard will understand. That sounds like more miracles, guys. Those who were not told about him will see. And those who have not heard will understand. And 22 kind of wraps it up. This is why I've often been hindered from coming to you. Because it happened often. This stuff happened all the time to Paul. We read about some of the stuff in Acts and then later in his other books that he wrote. I know what you're thinking. At least this is what I thought. But that was Paul. You know, I call him Saul Paul. Because he was Saul. First, a hater of Christians. A murderer of Christians. If you acknowledged that you were going to be with him, that you were siding with Jesus, being a disciple, a follower of Christ, an imitator of Christ, he was going to see to it that you died. Like the kid told me, they're going to kill you. Now, he didn't mean it that they're going to kill me because I'm here to talk about Christ. He meant it because, back to the story I was telling, the area was infested with drug dealers and pimps. Infested. Matter of fact, a couple years prior to us being there, the head evangelist was there. Right when he pulled up and told me, you got to go. You got to get these people out of here. In that very spot we were playing soccer, he had an axe put in the back of his head. He wasn't joking. We should have got out of there. But to tell the rest of the story, Holy Spirit empowered me to say, no, we're not leaving yet. I didn't get a chance to tell these guys about Christ. And I know they don't know because he said, who is that? When I was done telling them, preaching to them basically, in 5 minutes, I said, now I'm going to pray with you. And if you want to pray with me, if you want to know who this Jesus is really, and ask him into your heart, have him change your life. If you don't like what's going on in your town, you don't like what's going on in your family, make a stand. Make a difference. Become a history maker right here in this town. And I prayed with him. A simple prayer. Lord Jesus, please help me make a difference. Because what I'm doing is messing up. I can't do it on my own. I would like your help. Please take over my life. Change me forever so that I can change my hometown. Simple prayer. Something like that. Again, I don't remember exactly the words I used, but that's basically what I said. From that, I said, all right, let's go. They had food down at the area we were going to. So let's get down here, get something to eat, and do all kinds of other stuff. And as we were jogging down, I said, hey, how many of you guys prayed that prayer with me? Of the 18 or so kids that were there, ranging from 7 to 18, most of them boys, at least a dozen of them raised their hand and said, yeah, I did. I want to make a difference. If I'd have left when I was told to leave, without doing what the Holy Spirit was telling me to do, those kids would still be in the same situation they were if they were still around. They told me, one of the kids I befriended my first day there, he told me that his older brother's in jail, that he's a drug dealer, his mom was doing things to put bread on the table that she shouldn't have been doing. Befriended him all week. And before the week was out, my last day, he prayed a prayer of salvation with me. And I took the Bible that I had taken, I pulled it out of my back pocket, and I wrote in there something about, Kevin, let God make you be the history maker he designed you to be. And I gave it to him. And I prayed with his best friend sitting right next to him for him to accept Christ. I still pray for those kids on a regular basis as God brings them to my heart. But I believe they're going to take, I don't have any contact with him, but I believe God's going to take what he placed inside him that day and turn Scotland on its head. I believe that city is no longer the same. Go one step further. I wasn't even going to tell you this part. It just kind of came to my mind. One of the other kids I was praying for that week was totally different. I told you about the ladies. They were noticed that they were different. Well, this kid was different. Only it wasn't in the same way. He stood out from the crowd. Wore a huge black trench coat. Now, mind you, I'm there in the summertime. Straight black hair. And I could just tell something was all over this kid. Started praying for him. Tried to approach him. He just would back away and move, you know, just kept moving away. Didn't really want to get in a conversation. Found out from one of the leaders there that his mother was the head high priestess, whatever, of the Wiccan cult there. By the end of the week, he was having conversations with me. I didn't get the opportunity to lead him to the Lord. But I think he saw something in us. And he kept coming back. Every day he'd come back. First day, I don't know what he was doing, but you know, he was really standoffish. But by the end of the week, he was standing right outside of the tent. Enjoying the music. Listening to the word being spoken. Kind of got off track here. But I was talking about Saul and Paul. Who had a great... Come on, Paul. How can I do that stuff? He's the one that had this huge conversion on the Damascus Road that we read about. Of course, he could do miracles. His name's in the Bible. But I have a question for you. Just wait. Didn't you have your own conversion when you asked Christ to come in and change your life and help you? Didn't he pull you out of the pit? Is your life not different today than it was then? And it's true, your name may not be in the Bible. No, mine is. He's not talking about me, but David's in there. But my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of the decision I made. John 14:12 tells us, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." That's Jesus said that. He didn't say that we'd do the same things or that we'd be able to do some things. He said we'd do even greater things than this because he went to the Father. And because he went to the Father, the Holy Spirit was able to come and now lives inside of you and me. If we believe Jesus, should we not expect miracles? See, miracles actually point people to the resurrection power of Christ. Worship team, you can come up if you would. See, I wasn't going to talk about miracles because people are like, you know, that stuff doesn't really happen. But 2 weeks ago, I was praying with some people down here in front. I don't even want to say me, so we were praying with some people down front because we gave them an opportunity to come forward for prayer, which I'm going to do for you guys in just a minute here. Okay? If anybody wants prayer for anything, please be thinking about that and allow God to move you. But 2 weeks ago, there were two individuals that came forward and asked for prayer. One of them, if my dear sister is sitting in the back here, she actually grabbed me and said, "Hey, can you pray for me? And we went up front, and I prayed with her. She had had hip surgery, I don't know how long ago now, but ever since she has, her hip has really been bothering her. Lots and lots of pain. And I think God said, that's enough. We've had enough. And when she came forward and asked for prayer, we prayed. And as we were praying, she said she felt something. And by the end, she was walking on her own without her walker. Now, she told me last week, hey, come here. I still don't have any pain. I haven't had any pain since the day you prayed for me. Since when you prayed for me up front there, I haven't had any pain. And she was excited last week. She grabbed me again today, wouldn't let me out of the foyer. I don't have any pain in this leg, in this hip. I got other pains, she said, but there's none in my hip. I'm healed. I said, that's great. I'm glad God allowed me to be part of that day. But you know it wasn't me that did it. She goes, no, I know it wasn't you. It was God that healed me. Healed. Not took my pain away. Healed. Another gentleman had come in. All he could do to walk through the door. He was in so much pain. Ribs, back. I mean, you could tell everything was hurting. You could just see the grimace on his face. And he asked me for prayer in the lobby, in the foyer. I said, yeah, let's go off to the side. And we prayed. And we prayed. He came into service. I could tell he was still in pain. And when an invitation was given to come forward, if you had a need, he didn't come forward. But I said, when I was done praying, I went back and asked him. I said, how you feeling? I said, you better yet? He said, no. But he didn't say no. He just kind of looked at me. And I said, well, if you're not healed yet, come forward. Something's going on. Came forward. We prayed. A number of us gathered around. Just put our hands on him. And asked for God's power to come. And I don't know about you, but when I pray, I believe God's going to do what you're asking Him to do. Because I think, why am I wasting my breath if I don't believe it? I believe He's going to do what I'm asking Him to do. Because He's way bigger than me and it has nothing to do with me. When I was done praying, I asked Him. I said, I'm going to ask you something crazy. But I just want you to try. And he looked at me like, oh no, what's going on? I said, I want you to bend over and touch your toes. And he looked at me, and I could tell he didn't believe he was going to be able to even get halfway there. But as he started to bend over, and he even just went one side because I could tell he didn't believe it. He started going down, and as he did, he picked up speed. He's like, this isn't hurting. I can see it right on his face. And he reached all the way down and touched his toes. Stood back up with a smile on his face because it didn't hurt. I said, now I want you to do something else you couldn't do when you walked in the door this morning. He raised his hands over his head and started jumping up and down. That has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the power of God. So I'm going to ask you, even if you don't believe it, you have a need in your life today. You have a need. I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's for your marriage. I don't care if it's for physical healing. I don't care if it's for one of your kids that left and you know is doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. But if you have any kind of need, you're not comfortable with right now, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come forward and have somebody or a couple people pray for you. And believe what we said today, that the power of God lives inside you. And you can release that. You can have that presence of God about you. And His power flow through you to take care of the situation. I know it sounds crazy. But I stood in a room and saw 100 people healed when I was there 3 weeks ago. 100 people. Had a lady right behind me. We're praying for her. And as I was talking to her, just trying to find out what's going on, she couldn't hear me because she was deaf in her left ear. 5 minutes later, she could hear. Am I right? It wasn't because of me. I wasn't even the one praying. But I started praying because that got my faith to believe more. That raised the level of faith of God inside of me. I started praying more. When you see this stuff, it does something to you. It changes you. So that when you hear from God and do what He says, and then all hell breaks loose, you can still believe because you know what He's done before and you know what He can do. Press in. And when people come forward, if you feel led to pray for them, get up out of your seat and go pray for them. Let God's power in you start to work. Tim told us a couple weeks ago, be ready. Be ready. You don't know when your day's coming. Well, today's your day. Take His power and do something with it. Don told us last week, the Lord remembers, He restores, and He rebuilds. Let today be your day. Be the carrier of His presence and the power of God. Have faith that He is in you. Have faith that He wants you. That He wants what you want, even more so. And have the faith to allow God to work through you. So if you have a need, now's the time. Come forward here. If you want a little more privacy, we have another place to go, but come forward.